Perfect.
Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome to the Fight Mixer, y'all. How's everybody doing tonight? Mr. Gabe, how you doing?
I'm alive.
You look awesome, man. What's going on?
Just tired, you know, rough go.
Where are you training at, your gym?
Yeah, sure. That's what it is.
Didn't they just reopen gyms where, like, now you can have, like, full capacity and now you can have, like, everybody in the gym again and all that fun stuff?
I guess it depends on what state you're in. I'm in California. They're going to a smaller tier on Monday. So there is that, which means that I think now they're going to allow 30%. It was at 10% as of, right now it's 10%. Thankfully.
I've been doing that for a year now. So
what's that?
So I think we've been doing that here in Florida for a year now.
Yeah, we've been – thankfully, my max capacity is 2,000, so at 10%, we haven't hit the 10%, so.
What are they going to make you do? Like, are they going to make you do the COVID tests, like, when the students come in? Like, okay, kid, spread your butt cheeks. All right, COVID test, perfect.
Oh, I just do that for the fun. That seems to be what my student – actually, my student base has risen since I've been doing the butt test. They just seem to, like, enjoy it. I don't know. It's like, it just seems to work. I've been taking the temperature. I guess just something I've been doing regardless. I don't know. We'll see what Monday holds. We shall see.
Fuck yeah, man. So we have a big show coming up. MMA fighter, Bellator veteran, a guy who cannot keep his name out of the headlines, Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor, is going to be coming on the show. Can't wait to talk to him. He's one of the most entertaining cats ever. He's built a brand around himself. Just being that entertaining guy and a great fighter at that also. He trains with some top hitters like Kimbo Slice's son, Antonio McKee, all those guys. I see him post a picture with him and Rampage Jackson, which, Gabe, you're familiar with Rampage Jackson. Like,
yeah, I'm not familiar with the pretty boy. I'm sure he's he trains with Antonio McKee.
Yeah, Antonio McKee. Yeah,
that's a good gym. There's a good group out of there. But I, unfortunately, it's Pretty Boy Taylor. What's his first name?
Anthony.
Anthony. Yeah, I haven't heard any news about the guy. Not saying that he's not newsworthy. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying me personally. But then again, I don't know who Kylie Cole is or anybody else for that matter. So.
That's like a running joke. So I was telling him, like, yeah, he shot the most epic shot at Keisha Cole. It was amazing. Holy shit. Like, it was everywhere. And then it was posted. And Gabe was like, who's Keisha Cole? And there he is to explain. Anthony, Pretty Boy Taylor, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you guys doing?
What's doing going good, on?
Man. Doing really well.
Good. So, a lot of people might not know, but I fought James Gallagher in Ireland. I fought Adam Borgs in Budapest. You know, I fought a lot of killers, up-and-coming killers, top five guys in the bantamweight division and the 45 division of Bellator.
Fuck yeah, man. Awesome. And I was trying to explain to Gabe, we were Googling it online, and I'm like, so Anthony shot the most epic shot of all time, and this is where he first went viral. And we'll talk about the Jake Paul thing in a little bit. But I was so impressed. because you went viral because you shot your shot at Keisha Cole. We're trying to explain to Gabe who Keisha Cole was. Like, how the hell did that play?
Man, like, I remember it was like 7 p.m. at night time. She posted a picture. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just shoot my shot. I'm probably going to get about like a couple of followers. No one's going to really see this. So I said, hey, I'd be honored if you go on a date with me. I go to sleep. It's like 4 in the morning. I'm hearing ding, 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 ding on my phone. I'm like, what the hell is going on? All of a sudden, I'm trending on all these social medias on Instagram and Twitter. And then the Shade Room picks it up. I'm like, wait, I didn't mean for it to go down. You know, sometimes when you're on Instagram, you forget that you have that blue check mark. And yeah. When you have that blue check mark, it's a bigger deal than what it really seems to be.
Fucking crazy, man.
So it blew up and everything.
You went fucking everywhere. Like, it was on every single news site. I'm like, wait a second, I'm Facebook friends with that guy. I gotta post him up, and I'm like, holy shit, it was the most epic shot since Michael Jordan versus the Utah Jazz. I mean, it was crazy.
did she respond?
She responded. Yeah, she responded and said, hey, as much as I'm looking for love, you know, I'm focused on my music. AKA, hey, you're not the guy that I like. You're short and you're light-skinned. I was like, hey, I was like, you know, Iggy Azalea might be single. Why not?
And let's just look at the bright side. She needs to get on your level because, again, you're coming off 5-win fight streak. You just won your last fight in Bellator. Congratulations on that. You trained with some heavy hitters. Gabe knows Antonio McKee very well. We're talking about training with Kimbo Slice's son, Baby Slice. How's training been going? How's everything been going in your world, especially as you progress in your MMA career?
Well, it's going great. You know, when you're sparring, when you have AJ McKee, you can't forget AJ McKee. When you have AJ McKee and he's getting ready for the championship fight, the next fight after the Pitbull versus Sanchez, you got to think about it. Who do you think is the same height as Pitbull? I am. I'm the only guy that's Pitbull's height in camp. So guess who he has to kick ass for the next 3 months? Me. He has to kick my ass around for the next 3 months. But everything, jokes aside, you know, when you're having AJ McKee, when you have Joey Davis, you know, great wrestler, you know, I'm having to step up my game. I have to catch up because these guys are such a level ahead of the pack out there in the world. You have no choice but to up your game up. And when you're upping your game up, the level of competition that you're fighting tends to become a little bit easier than what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
And learning from a lot of those veterans like Antonio McKee, you know, and Rampage is training with us, learning from him, a lot of this tends, you soak in a lot of that energy and that experience, and you actually see it applied in a real fight.
Yeah. And Gabe, you're familiar with Antonio McKee. You were mentioning off the air Antonio McKee, Rampage Jackson. I saw a picture with you with Rampage Jackson. But Gabe, you're familiar with all those guys, right? And you complimented that it was a great gym.
I mean, Antonio's got a solid gym, got a great group. There's a lot of guys that come in and out of that gym. I'm not sure who's there currently, but I mean, a who's who at California has been at Antonio's gym at some point or another.
We had Aaron Pico, but I'm not sure what happened with Aaron Pico and the fallout. You know, I can't really get into it. I do know, but I really can't get into that. It's not my business. You had Bubba Jenkins, who kind of had a fall out with Antonio because AJ was his up and rising star. You know, then you had Brett Cooper at the time, Emmanuel Newton. You know, you had a lot of up and coming fighters. You know, and just a lot of them just couldn't cut it. You know, Antonio's a real guy. He's going to be a coach, but he's also going to be your friend. And a lot of these coaches are not only your coach and not your friend. Their money mainly is just your coach. Come in here and train. All right, see you tomorrow. But when you're dealing with Antonio McKee, he's more like, all right, come train. Where are you going? Where are you eating? No. Be here. I'll see you in 5 hours. Texting me every day. So Antonio established that relationship with his fighters and that closer bond. And when I look at Antonio, it's amazing because not only is this man coaching, but this guy has not I kid you not, has not missed training. He's there Monday to Fridays every single day from 10:30 to 12:30, and he's training with us. There's not a lot of coaches that are actually sparring with your fighters, grappling, all this stuff with their fighters. And he's not only just me and AJ, he's doing it with the whole gym. Everybody's sparring everybody. There's no off break with Antonio. He's constantly training. If honest to God truth, if Antonio wanted to fight tomorrow in Bellator, he can actually do it because he's already in shape.
Right, right. And what I admire most about you too is you, and you touched upon this when you fought James Gallagher. It was a tough fight, absolutely. But you know, after that was your most high profile fight. And then afterwards, you pulled the 180, five back to back victories. Your last fight was a dominant win, was a huge victory. What was Antonio McKee key in you turning that corner and figuring out, okay, you know, like light bulb, I got to work on this? Or what made you flip the switch and now we really see Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor and what you bring to the table? Because you bring a lot of talent to that table, especially in that
division. Thank you. I think a lot of it was I had to go back to my amateur days. You know, as my amateur days, I was having fun. I was joking around in the cage, doing what I do, why I came into this sport, because I love it. When I turned pro, it got a little bit more serious because, oh, you have to have this professionalism when you're with Bellator, when you're with any organization. Yeah, but you can't forget to have fun. So when I lost to James Gallagher, remind you, 2016, I started fighting. Before that, a lot of people don't know I was actually a stripper. A lot of people don't know that. So I just got into fighting from stripping to straight to MMA fighting. And I had no experience in ground game and boxing. So when I fought James Gallagher, it was like my third fight overall as a pro. So I had a lot to learn. Dating back from that loss, I went 2-5. Antonio was like, listen, if you keep coming in with these losses and you're not training, taking it serious, you're going to have to leave. You're not taking it serious. You're wasting my time. You're wasting your other fighters' time, your teammates' time. It's not fair. Why should I give you my time if you're not putting 100% of that effort into it? So I really had to sit down and really think to myself, like, yo, this you need to have fun. And you need to be serious about it. This is a career now. So I literally dedicated about almost 4 years of just straight up grappling, boxing, you know, from Antonio himself. My style of wrestling simulates Antonio McKee's wrestling, you know. So ever since then, I've just been on this tear. You know, a lot of people don't know, like, I'm better than what my record says. I just never got that chance to build myself as a fighter. When you go into Bellator, look how AJ McKee built them. Look how they built up AJ McKee. Look how they built up Joey Davis and Baby Slice. I came in Bellator as if I was Aaron Pico, fighting top dogs. I never got the chance to fight a guy 0-0 as my debuter. My debuter was a 5-1 guy. I never got to fight a guy 1-1, 2-2, 3-3. My third fight was 5-0 James Gallagher. My fourth fight was 9-0 Adam Borix. So I had to learn it the hard way for me to understand. And I understood that, okay, never going to let this happen. I'm going to work on my weaknesses and get better at that. And ever since that loss, I have not been taken out. I have not been taken down in a pro fight since James Gallagher. That was the last person that took me down ever in wrestling or grappling. I've dominated everybody that I fought by unanimous, either way, by a finish. I just dominate everybody now. And I tell them, hey, I'm the pretty boy. Your sister's in the third row. She's looking at you get beat up. I'm the most likely to get her Instagram handle afterwards.
Holy shit. So, and we'll touch upon, like, your next Bellator fight. And Gabe and I were actually talking about you sparring Jake Paul. And how did that come about, you know? Like, because Jake Paul is now the enemy of the MMA game. He's now the enemy of the MMA world. When you spar him, essentially you're agreeing to help out with his training camp against Ben Askren, who's the representation of MMA. So how did that come about? How do you see this from your perspective of actually sparring Jake Paul and helping out with him?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to fight Jake Paul. When you go on my Instagram, you look back, at my old stories from 2020, you'll see me and Jake Paul trying to get right. But I called him out on Twitter. His coach responded like, "All right, cool. If you think he's scared of you, come spar him then." I'm like, "Great, cool." So a lot of people are looking at it like, "Oh, he's a big guy. You know, he's gonna beat up Ben Askren. He's gonna beat you up too, Anthony." I'm like, "Wait a minute, come out, yo. You got a guy who's been training for about a year and a half." Some guy's been doing this about 5 years who actually does it in combat. And a lot of people say, "Well, he's a bigger guy than you, and he hits a lot harder." I'm like, listen, people don't know. I have to spar hard with Joey Davis, and he's way more accurate and consistent with his punches. Jake Paul is wild. I'm not worried about Jake Paul. A lot of people don't know. I started boxing at the age of 18. So I sparred a lot of professional boxers. Like, you know, I sparred Kareem Mayfield. I sparred a lot of these pro boxers. And Jake Paul is just another sparring guy that I'm sparring. You know, technically, I'm getting him ready for Ben Askren. So now that I'm going into this sparring match with Jake Paul, a lot of people want to know, is he really good? Because now he's actually going to be sparring a real fighter, especially not just a real, just not just an average fighter, a good fighter who's on a win streak.
Yeah, and Gabe, you were actually alluding to. I'm sorry, Gabe, I cut you off. Were you thinking?
I was gonna say you do know that he's not gonna go easy, right? You like he's gonna go for a knockout, like. You cannot go light with that guy. I'm not gonna say how I know this, but there've been a few times that people that I know have gone just to train with the cat, and his coach says, "Oh, go light. You know, it's a light round," and then Jake just comes in for the kill, and then if you try to pick it up,
expected that. I expected that. It's like I said, I spar professional boxers, and it's like, come on, bro. No, you're not going like, you know, especially when you're dealing with a man like that, Jake. He's known for doing for sleazy stuff like that. I've already know that I'm coming in with a fight. Now, luckily for me, I'm used to sparring without headgear with 10-ounce gloves. That's how Antonio trains. So we're okay with we're wearing headgear, 16-ounce gloves. If he wants to go all out, that's fine with me. I'm in shape for it. This is my job. This is what I do for a living. You know, this is who I am. That's why I'm the pretty boy, because I don't get hit. And now I expect him to go 100%, which is I'm okay with it. You know, BJ Forrest told me no cameras allowed. I'm like, okay, I respect the gym. But I already know coming up, they're going to be recording me. So if I do look like I'm on the bad end, they're going to like take clips and post it like, "Oh, MMA fighter, good MMA fighter is getting beat up by Jake Paul." I already know what to expect. So my mindset is already on that mindset of what's going on, as this is going to be a fight.
It's very hard to spar somebody that has no concept of the game and no concept of the sport. Like, you know, when you spar professionals, or you're supposed to essentially be there to help someone get ready for a fight. You know, you're going light, they're going light, they're just trying to get a workout in. No one's trying to prove a point. Jake Paul, it seems like he's trying to bring in these MMA fighters and bring these fighters, try to prove a point, right? You know, if he doesn't come correct to you and he steps out of line, you're going to have to check him. And, like, I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely. And a lot of it that he doesn't know, like I'm five six. Like I think he's what, 6 feet, 6'1"?
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to fighting my whole career, I'm used to fighting guys as a pro MMA fighter. I'm used to fighting guys 5'11" and taller. I have no problem striking with guys that tall. So I have to let him know, you do something stupid, I will hurt you. Like,
yeah,
I've been fighting for so long. I know where to be and go at when it comes to placements and throw my punches. Now I can't hurt the guy because he got a fight coming up, you know. And I'm not the one to disrespect a man for getting his money. So, but I do know that I'm aware that Jake Paul is coming to knock my head off, and if I feel like he's trying to do something shady, like an elbow or something, I'm going to let him know what a warning. Also, I'm coming out with AJ. AJ McKee is going to be there. Most likely, Baby Slice is going to be there. So if anything, you know, I have my team just to make sure everything is settled down.
Right. And that's three cats you don't want to put up with. Abe McKee, who's arguably going to be the future champion. He's the future of MMA and the future of the sport. So you got Baby Slice, who obviously he's right there, and you. So, you know, I have no doubts nothing bad's going to happen. But, like, as an established fighter and of your presence, do you feel, like, some sort of way, because Gabe and I talk about this all the time, like, you feel some sort of way that the MMA community and the boxing community, you have hardworking guys like yourself, AJ McKee and Baby Slice, he's a celebrity, whether he likes it or not, he's a celebrity. He's a big deal, right, considering where he comes from. Kendall Slice, who was an amazing, who was a big deal, who's a huge big, and still is a big deal. And now all this attention, while you guys had to work up the ranks and earn your spots and earn your stripes, Jake Paul kind of like leaped forward and kind of leaped over everybody, did not pay those dues, and now is in a primetime fight and main eventing over Frank Mir, which, you know, it just crazy to me. Like, it's
a combo. Well, a lot of it, you gotta look at it like this, right? Like, let's like this. Conor McGregor was not an Irish guy. He wouldn't be getting all these pay-per-view buys, all these Irish, millions and hundreds of millions of Irish people would not be buying pay-per-view guys if he was American. You know, Jake Paul gets a lot of his fans from his YouTube handle. Majority of his all his YouTube handles. So he might have about 30 million subscribers who follows him from his past. And that brings into the money part of it. Now, the MMA community is like, hey, you're a fake fighter. We don't care. We want to see you get your ass whooped. So Jake knows, hey, I can't just fight a real boxer or a fighter because I'm going to get my ass kicked. You know, a lot of people don't know, like, Ben's going to win this fight. Believe it or not, Ben's going to win this fight. Ben was a Bellator champion for a reason and a ONE championship for a reason. You know, it's not like Ben just grapples all day, every day. Like, hey, you have sparring days, you have your grappling days, you have your kickboxing days, you have your jiu-jitsu days. You know, Ben knows what he's doing, and he's playing it casual. He's building up the fight, and Jake doesn't care because he feels like he's a bully. I'm this big guy. I'm strong. I'm knocking out people. He has no idea what's going to happen to him, and that's why they say, this is what they say. Do you really want to be a fighter?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a really important point. I mean, so I know you're strapped for time during the car and you pulled over just to join us, which I really do appreciate. Gabe, you got one more question for the champ?
I'm just interested to hear what the outcome is going to be. I know they're going to have you sign an NDA, but they play a pretty bullshit game over there, but. I'm just curious about the outcome, to be honest.
I'm gonna give him that work. I'm gonna put in that work and let him work for it. I'll take it easy with him, and I'll go his speed. But at the end of the day, I'm going to get the best out of it because I'm more experienced. I'm more freer, and I just have more of the power. I have more power on my side. A lot of people don't understand that I'm a very strong guy, and I just know my levels. I know when to use my levels when I'm sparring or when I'm fighting. You know, I just think he's very wild. And, you know, I'm not here to hurt the guy. I'm here just to get him ready for his fight. And a lot of people just think, kill the man. Like, hey, I can't kill the man. You know, he has a fight coming up. I'm pretty much getting him ready for his fight. And people want to know, how do you fare well with an actual fighter? You know, because a lot of people say, well, he spars with professionals. Like, you hear that he spars with professionals. But have you had video of him sparring with professionals or just amateur guys that just, hey, I'm an amateur MMA fighter guy. Okay, come on in. You don't see him having videos with professional sparring, getting the best out of a professional boxer.
Right, absolutely. And so, you know, I'm going to wrap this up like a Christmas present, but I have two more questions. Obviously, I'm a big fan of your work. Obviously, you're very entertaining in the ring, inside and outside of the ring. That's why you build up such a big brand for yourself. But when's the next time we can see you fight in Bellator? And what's the main goal for yourself? Is it to get in the UFC, build a brand, Bellator, which you're doing a great job doing that? Or what's the future?
Now, I'm going to give you guys, for people who's going to know this because you guys are cool. and you reached out to me, and no one else reached out to me. So I'm no longer going to be with Bellator. I'm still a free agent. UFC reached out to me and my management. They say, hey, we like this guy. Yeah, they say, hey, we like this guy. We like how entertaining he is. He can build a fight. He's good. We see that with the pedigree out of the gym he comes from. They told my management, they say, hey, have him win 2 to 3 more fights. We'll bring him in on a multiple fight contract. I'm like, cool. So my next fight is July 3rd in Germany, and I'll be fighting on this promotion called Elite MMA Championship. Henan Burrell just signed with that. So I fight there. I fight one time now. If I win my fight in Germany, which I will, I think I might fight Henan Burrell for the 145 title.
Goddamn, man. So 2-3 more fights and you're in the UFC. So pretty much you're there. Yep. You're
cut. So if I win 3 more fights, my record will be 10-5 with an 8-fight win streak if I win those 3 fights.
You're the fucking man, brother. I'm sure you're absolutely going to do that. So going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining us. But any place we can follow you, especially for our viewers, where can we follow you? We got to build up that fan base a little bit more.
Absolutely. If anybody gets lost, Google me, Anthony Taylor. My Instagram, Anthony_prettyboy. My Twitter, Anthony_forreal.
Right. And Keisha Cole needs a separate game up, obviously, to get on your level. But don't worry about it. In time. So, Mr. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your time. It's an honor to talk to you, brother.
I appreciate you, gentlemen. You guys have a beautiful week, by the way.
You take too, care. Brother. Have a good one. Fucking A, man. And you know what? Like, and he mentioned it just like how you talked about it with Jake Paul, that they're going to take pieces and clips of the footage. They're going to discard what's good. They're going to keep what's bad. Like, this guy's a piece of shit, man. I hate fucking Jake Paul. I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, the kid is he's not a fighter. You know, he's a YouTube star. But, he is, for better or worse, an unfortunate star, and because of that, he can do things like, you know, put boxing matches together that people are going to watch and spend money on. And I will say that for Anthony was the guy, correct, that we just talked to. I think he needs to go in there. I think it's funny that he's saying like, I'm not going to hurt the guy. I think fuck it, man. If you're going to try to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Like, I'm not like, look, my concern is not about your payday. My concern is not about what you bring to the table. If you're going to come try to hurt me,
yep.
Guess what, son? If I was going to fight Jake Paul and Jake Paul came at me hard, we're fighting. And I hope that there's going to be some people to pull me off and I'm going to break something on the process. And look, you want to try to do something after the fact? It was a fight.
Gabe, can I drop an exclusive? Because you and I talked about this. You know all too well, because weren't you guys supposed to do a roundabout, or maybe you offered your services to help him out? You know about this, don't you, Gabe?
Yeah. So I had one of my amateur students go over there. And they pick up pretty much anybody that wants to spar in the Southern California area. And we live in the Valley area, which is close to Calabasas, where his training center is, basically his house. I got a hold of one of his handlers and I said, hey, I'll come and fight Jake. I'll come and do some rounds with him, you know. They talk about the NDA, they talk about this, they talk about that. And I go, well, if he's going to come at me hard, I'm not going to box. We're going to fight. They declined, you know, the reality is, look, if you're going to want to fight me and you're going to come at me like we're fighting, then it's a fight. And what happens, right? And it's not my fault. I've sparred with the who's who, you know what I mean? I've sparred pro boxers as well. And some pro boxers are notorious for trying to knock you out. You know, like they're trying to I will say I've taken those guys down. Like, okay, you want to, we're fighting? I guess we're fighting. Like, Are you better at boxing than I am? Of course you are. You're a pro boxer. I don't do that. But if we're fighting, which you try to knock me out is proof that you don't want to spar, you want to fight, then we're going to fight.
Yeah. And you're a black belt, so if he wants to go into your world and you want to be a white belt and a black belt woman, you're going to be choked and held like a helpless baby. I mean, you know.
I'll say in the striking realm, I'll grab you and I'll knee you in the face with everything I've got. You know what I mean? I'll start elbowing you. If you want to fight, there's sparring and there's fighting. And if you come at a sparring match like a fight, then okay, then we've officially fought. And in my opinion, boxing is just a piece of the fighting realm. And I respect that piece. But if you're going to fight me like a fighter, then we are going to fight. And I have all the skill sets. Let's go.
Right.
I made it fun, by the way.
I hope Ben Askren wins. And for the sake of everything that is holy, I hope he fucking wins. But,
you know, Ben is an exceptional athlete. And I don't think he's a novice striker. Will Jake have size on him? I'm sure he'll have some size on him, but the tenacity Ben Askren is an Olympian.
Yeah.
And UFC and everything else out of it, the mentality you need to have to be an Olympian is different level, especially in wrestling in particular. I'm hoping for Ben to win. It'll be a judged match, correct? And the judges will be boxing judges, or what type of judges will they have? Like, will it be Jake Paul's mom, his girlfriend, or something?
No, it's like 10 point must system. I believe that it will be under boxing judges and boxing.
Right, but it'll be a commission. The commission sanctioned, so the commission is going to bring in the judges.
God, I hope so. Wait, you changed it. What are you doing? You can take my fucking name. I said, stop there on my dick.
Dude, inappropriate, David. Inappropriate. I can't believe you said that, dude. That was horrible.
Inappropriate. Matt, inappropriate. Keep going. Inappropriate. I'm sorry.
As I was saying, I could see Jake Paul. I could see Jake Paul having, like, his best friends as the judges. You know what I mean? Like, I did a boxing match like that where the guy that I was boxing, all of his friends were the judges. So I wasn't gonna win no matter what.
What gym did you go into that fucking all the friends were the fucking judges? What type of gym would you go into that they would allow that?
Do you know who Jason Ellis is?
Why does that name sound so familiar?
He's a DJ. And,
that guy.
Jason's Jason. He would never do MMA. I offered multiple times, but I did his show twice. The first time on 2 weeks' notice, completely out of shape without boxing shoes, and then the second time, the officials were his close friends. So it was like, am I gonna win? Unless I knock him out. So what are you gonna do?
Fucking crazy, man. I want Jake to experience what all newbies experience, especially when they go into the gym for the first time or they go into a competition where they blow their wad and right when someone's keep pressing. And you know that retard energy, that retard strength, and don't mind my French, that Jake Paul strength and Jake Paul energy. Like, you're throwing bombs and like you're throwing heavy hands. And the guy is using this technique. He's blocking, weathering the storm. And then finally that guy keeps coming at you, closing the distance. We're nailing little shots, but like the war of 1,000 pricks, you know, just like nailing those shots. He's getting tired, exhausted, and there's nowhere to go. When you're in a pro fight with a pro fighter, it's a different type of fucking circumstance where you're being pressed and you're getting that pressure. You're fighting a competitor who doesn't want to lose and doesn't give a shit if you throw a fucking 10-ounce game at him, he's still fucking coming at you. I want to see him in that predicament where things aren't going his way He's breathing hard. He's fucking exhausted. Adversity starts kicking in. He realizes he's not in a fight with a fucking YouTube celebrity or a fucking celebrity basketball player. And he goes in the fucking real world, Gabe, in the world that all fighters know, where you got to fucking dig deep. And I think he breaks. I think he breaks once he faces adversity. And when something is in front of him that won't break, will not fall, will not agree with him. And I can't wait for that to happen in the fight. And I think that's when he breaks. I think that's when Ben asked for.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think Ben is the type of guy to put that type of pressure. I would like to not give Jake Paul any more airtime because the little piece. Do you see Francis Ngannou versus Stipe? Holy shit. Holy
shit. Did you see that fight? I'm sorry, man. Do you see that fight?
I did. I genuinely thought Stipe was going to win.
You thought Stipe was going to win?
Obviously, you know, Ngannou with 2 years of takedown defense is all it took.
Yeah, but that was a difference maker in their first fight. I think Ngannou had so much hype going in as like the next Mike Tyson and everything like that. The hype kills every fighter. Look at Rose Namajunas. She was hyped up as the next Ronda Rousey. She lost against Cookie Monster. Came back stronger and beat arguably one of the scariest female fighters ever, Joanne Champ, Burdenchek, you know, beat her. And I'll like beat a tougher opponent, you know, like that whole hype kills fighters. And the same thing happened with Ngannou, where when he fought Miocic, they wrote them all, they wrote everybody, like Miocic was so written off. And then he went to that fight and Miocic just took him to town and took him to task. Ngannou got humbled and then came back in this fight a completely different fucking fighter. But he strolled, when he stepped that first takedown, I knew it was fucking over, man. I knew it was fucking over. He was a different fighter, man.
Well, I mean, let's see. The problem is the UFC heavyweight division. Stipe has been the longest holding champion, and that's only three fights. So, you know, we've had I remember how Cain Velasquez was going to be the next big thing, and then when JDS knocked him out, he was the next big thing. We shall see. We shall see. That the heavyweight division is, you know, I didn't think it happened in that division, and I don't see anyone clearing out the division. I mean, Ngannou is a terrifying man. I personally think Jones can beat him. I think Jones can beat him relatively easily, actually.
What makes you think that, though?
Just his skill set and ability to game plan. I think with Ngannou, like, you just need to get on the inside. Getting on the inside in Ngannou, which is – I was actually surprised that Stipe was going for low shots. Upper body stuff is what you do with that guy. Like, really, you get inside, you get in close, you do more Greco style. That's going to be a better way of wearing him down and make him hold your weight. And that's where Jones, I think that's where he had his, I believe his – he's a national title, right? I think I want to say junior college.
I think he dropped out of college or something because he got his girlfriend pregnant. Now fiance, but she got pregnant, and that's why he gave up with collegiate wrestling.
Well, but he was there for Greco, so.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
So, I think Stipe, some adjustments could beat him as well. I think, you know, they've been doing a lot of trilogies. I think they should give Stipe another shot. They're 1-1.
Yeah. That'd be a good fight. That'd be a good fight. And also against Jones, too. Jones, we go back to the money issue and an issue that you and I constantly talk about, where we need to pay the fighters more. John Jones has been on top of the game. No matter steroid scandals or anything like that or blah, 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 Olympic-style testing and drug testing is fucking crazy. Like, it's fucking nuts. Even on the Emmys, like, I was on Vyvanse for a while for my ADHD. Obviously, I have fucking ADHD, but, like, I was on Vyvanse, and then my doctor was like, you got to get off that because that's written off in drug testing. I'm like, I didn't know that. Holy shit. They're very strict about that. Anything to be on a fucking protein shake, you drink that, you're going to fucking pop a positive. I mean, forget that. All aside or anything, John Jones is one of the most dominating fighters of all time. He's one of the most dominating. He deserves a big, big payday. Like, what do you think about that, Gabe? Especially you fought in the UFC. So, like, what do you think about the whole –
Well, I think Jones wants over. I think 10 million was. I've seen that number being thrown around, which is an insane amount of money, especially when we're talking about UFC. I would be happier if everyone took a stand. I wish it was just more. And like, you have your Connors and your John Joneses that they want money fights, this and that. I think everybody needs to have solidarity to work together for everyone to get paid. I just saw the new Venom payout, which I believe is like $4,200 for your first fight, which is considerably better than Reebok. I mean, Reebok being a much larger company was paying, I think, $25,000. But even then, that's insane. I made over $60,000 when I fought Joe Lauzon on Spike TV because of sponsors. The sponsor money is what made that fight a profitable endeavor for me. You know, not my payday, not my my fight. And I mean, you've got your bonuses, your $50,000 bonus, but four people get that. You know, and they have 12 fights on a card. That's out of 24 people, four people get an extra $50,000. I think as a whole, the whole sport needs to change, and the money needs to be. The lawsuit that's happening. One of the things that happened is if there was disclosure that the UFC pays 12 to 15% of the profits to the fighters. Every other sport is closer to 50. And my understanding for boxing in particular, for the Ali Act, it is a 50-50 split. So if you figure that 12% or even let's go the high 15% of profits are going to the fighters are getting absolutely nothing.
Right. I've been talking about this since 2016 about like the Muhammad Ali Act and how it needs to be passed. And I don't give a fuck about your pay-per-view revenue. That's all on you. You know, you need to work harder. You're not getting pay-per-view buys up. People are buying the brand. They're not, a lot of fighters, the market's oversaturated. There's boxers everywhere. There's millions and millions of boxers. There's millions of MMA fighters. Now we're at that level where MMA and boxing are equals. So now, obviously, the fighter is not going to be selling the brand. It's going to be the brand selling the fighter to hopefully make them more money and make the brand more profitable. But, you know, now is the time where the Muhammad Ali Act needs to be enacted. And I don't give a fuck about your pay-per-view revenue or your ticket sales. I don't care if you sell five seats. I don't care if you have five pay-per-view buys. I don't give a fuck. Every fighter needs to be paid and compensated for their efforts and their training camp and everything like that, because the fighters, without the fighters, where's the fucking pay-per-view? The Muhammad Ali Act needs to happen, and I wonder what the fuck happened to the Muhammad Ali Act, and why isn't it having any movement, especially with people, so many people behind it?
Well, one, that the Ali Act is for boxing only, and there is a massive, massive backlash that from the UFC and other organizations, well, the UFC in particular, legal backlash for anyone that has tried to do unionization or has done anything that has tried to benefit the fighter. They throw a lot of money in, and the class action lawsuit that the UFC is still embroiled in, they are throwing millions of dollars to fight a billion-dollar losing case. If you're making all the money, why would you want to stop making all the money? You know, why would you want to be fair when you can you can take advantage? And that's unfortunately been, throughout history, that's how it's been. That was the rise of the unions was expressly because that was what was happening.
Yeah, fucking crazy, man. Fucking crazy. Anywho, also in MMA news, do we have Pancras coming up. So Pancras weekend. Gabe and I will be on commentary.
I'm pretty excited.
You about that, Gabe?
A lot of people may not know this. A lot of people may not know this, but I have not met you or Matt in person. I don't know. We talk and we converse and we go through, we do the show together every week, and that's great. But we have yet to meet in person. And I'm actually a little afraid because Matt said he was going to grab my ass. And I was like, dude, my wife and kid are going to be there. I mean, but it'll be good to meet you guys.
I mean, man, if you want a guy, grab his ass, go for it. I mean, it might be his daughter kicking your ass and murdering you, but like, I'm you know,
type of guy. What can I say?
Game might let his daughter do his light work. So like, I would avoid trying to grab his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Matt's got Tourette's of the hands.
They do what they want. I don't know.
I get some of my.
Ultimately, I'm excited. I'm excited for Pancras to make its debut in the United States and hopefully build up as a brand in the United States. It's all over. There's gyms all over the country, all over, you know, gyms all over the world with Pancras and the Pancras logo. So hopefully it builds up to something big and, you know, hope for the best. And, you know, me and Gabe on commentary and, you know, I'll be adding my muster and asking Gabe every step of the way what's going on with the action for him to break it down. And, you know, it's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait.
I think it'd be great. I, you know, Pancras has a storied history in MMA, and the fact that it's coming back and they're trying to rebrand it in the States is a great option. I'm excited to be part of it, and I'm excited to see you gentlemen, and it'll be good. Good times. Fun.
Fuck yeah, man. Pancras was around longer than the UFC. 1993 it started, same year as UFC, but a few months before. But brought in some of the biggest names, and some of the biggest names came out of there, like Bas Roon, who's going to be there, Frank Shamrock, Ken Shamrock, Fujita, so many different names. You can Guy Mesner. I mean, you can go down the who's who. But you know, right now in Japan, you know, they have a very small crowd, very small fan base, which is very disappointing considering they're such a notable brand and could be built up to something huge in Japan. But they're not putting in the work. They're not giving the brand its due. So I'm glad that, you know, some notoriety is coming over to the United States. And maybe it can be built up to what you and I, who are MMA historians and we love the sport, can be built up to what it deserves and, you know, give some backing to the name, you know?
I'll certainly do my very best. And it's a good opportunity to allow American fans to see what Pancras brings to the table. And I hope to do it justice.
Fuck yeah, man. So we're going to wrap up the show. Matt, is it time to wrap up or what do you think?
Yeah, whenever you guys are ready.
Do what you want. We do what we want.
All right. All right, wrapping up the show like a Christmas present. And big thank you to Anthony Preboy Taylor. Can't wait to see him fight in Germany. Watch it wherever it airs. You know, he's three fights away from getting to UFC. You know, he's a very, very talented cat. You got to follow him on Anthony Preboy. He has a big, big fan following. He's awesome. And, you know, follow his teammates, also Antonio McKee, which – Gabe knows all too well. Antonio McKee actually trained Chuck Liddell for his last fight. Tidbit. Little nerd tidbit. But, like, Antonio McKee, around the game for quite some time, and he's the trainer of trainers and one bad motherfucker. I interviewed him back in 2016 and his son, AJ. Great guy, too. Awesome guy.
He's been around for a long time. He's, I mean, you know, Antonio's been fighting in the California circuit for – oh, I think it's like 01, 2000, maybe. Long story career. Yeah.
Yeah. They're fucking awesome gym. And obviously, like, Baby Slice. And that's a huge gym. That's a big gym with a lot of talent. And Anthony Taylor is one of those talents. And Gabe's favorite meme right there.
I love that. Now, admittedly, it is not a dancing chicken, but I call it the dancing chicken. Although it's not a dancing chicken, it'll always be a dancing chicken to me.
Yeah, looks like a dancing chicken.
But it's not. It's not.
What is it? It
kind of looks like a chicken.
Is it a Thunderbird?
That is actually the hawk from the Mexican flag. The hawk and the snake from the Mexican flag.
Oh,
yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, you learn something new every day from Mr. Gabe. And we're speaking of learning something new every day from Gabe. Gabe, where can we go to visit you? When you want all your jiu-jitsu needs, drop a little MMA knowledge. When you want to train with the best, Gabe, where is your gym located? And where can people in the beautiful California area visit to learn from the man himself?
Well, I mean, if I were in California and I happen to be, I would go to Kaiju MMA and Fitness in beautiful Tarzana, California. I mean, exceptional training, exceptional students. I mean, cream of the crop. Coaching is on the next level. That's where I would go. Go to Kaiju MMA and Fitness. Or you can even go to kaiju-mma.com which they happen to have a website. I didn't know that, but I looked it up right before I got on the. I Googled it. Yeah, and they have a they have an Instagram, Kaiju MMA. Who would have guessed? Unbelievable. Good stuff.
Okay, crazy. And you run the business, so you have no idea that they have a website and Instagram. I find that hard to believe.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I looked at my phone, and that's – I knew that already. But David, that's like thanks for ruining it for me. But, yeah, it's mine.
I'm sorry. This is Gabe at Kaijuya MMA. Fucking awesome. In California. Great students, great vibes. Learn from the man himself, Mr. Gabe. And Matt, any last words from the Mr. Producer?
No.
You are so disappointed, sir.
Yeah, I am. Trying to find the outro.
Unfucking believable. All right, boys and girls, all my bros and hoes in different area codes with swollen lymph nodes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for the Fight Mixer this week. Tune in next Wednesday for the Girl Show. Also, Bare Knuckles Most Wanted on Monday. Brandon will not be there. And tune in also for Thursday show. We're going to have Jose Shorty Torres. I met him at Bare Knuckle Fighting. An amazing guy. UFC vet. Also a commentator. Fights for – he just fought for Brave. Coming off a big win. I can't wait to talk to him. He's a friend of Justin's. Hopefully we can get maybe Justin on because he was supposed to be a host for the show. That would be a fucking miracle. Hopefully. Fingers crossed here. But, yeah, Jose Shorty Torres will be on the show. And boys and girls, children of all ages, from the champ, Mr. Gabe, from Matt, the producer, and from myself, signing off and drink more Dranger fucking sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Fight Mixer. Peace.
Perfect. Perfect.